Have a question or need how-to advice? Just ask Meta AI. Whether you want to design a marathon training program or you're curious what planets are visible in tonight's sky, Meta AI has the answers. It can also summarize your class notes, visualize your ideas, and so much more. It's the most advanced AI at your fingertips. Expand your world with Meta AI. Now on Instagram, WhatsApp, Facebook, and Messenger.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Well, folks, welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is the Win Over the Mocs edition. This is Illini Guy Mike Kegley. I am joined live by Illini Guy Brad Sturdy and Illini Guy staff writer Matt Stevens, both of whom are in Pittsburgh. They just watched the show live. They watched the game live, and they have got some thoughts for us. So, Brad, give us your some of your initial thoughts coming out of what was an incredibly gut-wrenching, nerve-wracking, fingernail-biting win in the first round of the 2022 NCAA tournament.
Well, it was obviously an ugly win, 54-53. They found a way to win, though, and at the end of the day, that's what counts, is that you find a way to survive in advance. They didn't shoot the ball well, didn't score, didn't rebound the ball well. But what they did do was defend. And as long as you defend, you have a chance. And that's what happens when you get into the postseason, is you can find a way to defend, you have a chance to win, and that's what they did. I thought they got some good contributions from Coleman Hawkins. Andre Curbelo in the first half was key. I thought in the second half maybe he had some, made a few mistakes, but I thought overall in the first half he was pretty good. I thought that, Kofi was Kofi. He had a big game. I asked Underwood, I would like to see them maybe play the freshmen, use those guys, maybe bring some energy off the bench. Didn't use any of them. It was only second game this year that we didn't see a freshman play in. They had, especially when they weren't scoring at all for long stretches there. I mean, I think RJ Melendez or having Luke Goody available to knock down a three would have been a nice thing there. But, at the end of the day, they found a way to win. Alfonso Plummer finally showed up, but they're not going to go much farther unless they get something from Trent Frazier. He's going to have to step up and get something done on the offensive end if Illinois wants to advance past Sunday.
Matt, what were your thoughts coming out of the game?
I'm really glad that Brad Sturdy started out with defense, because I think our subscribers get tired of me preaching about defense and rebounding. So I'll just let Brad do that tonight, because I thought that was the most two important. I thought the one thing was defense was the most important thing that Illinois did. There are stretches in this game where Chattanooga didn't score a point for 7 minutes. Didn't score a point. And when you do that, like Sturdy said, you always give yourself a chance no matter how inept you are on offense and inefficient you are on offense. And I thought sometimes Illinois was all of those things. I agree with everything you said. I thought I would add, I'm not sure how he phrased it about Grandy, but he just doesn't look 100%, and he's given everything he's got. I'm not faulting, the 24-year-old for giving everything he's got right now, but he just didn't look comfortable. Hopefully maybe after this, he can get comfortable in the Sunday game and beyond if Illinois wants to advance. You just gutted this one out. And I want to remind Illinois fans, if you want to win a national championship, you got to win six in a row, and they are nothing like the other five. No game really has anything to do with the next game that you play. So in this tournament, Illinois did the most important thing, which is win by a point. And now they get to play again on Sunday. And that's kind of how this deal works.
Yeah. And that's a tough right now. Houston's up by 9 at the half. Doesn't mean that they're going to win the game, but boy, they play some tough defense. And the Illini really came through with holding the Mocs to 27% shooting in the second half. And when you figure that quick burst that they got out of halftime to extend the lead, up to you know, up to 41-29, that quick eight points they got. Boy, that's a heck of a half there. Brad, what was did you see going on the offensive end? Do you have any thoughts on what might be, you know, confounding the Illini, or is it just one of those things where they need to play through some bad streaks, just the way a golfer has to kind of correct their swing, you know, out on the golf course?
No, they don't move. They're so stagnant when Bello's not on the floor, and they just throw it around the perimeter, hoping to dump it into Kofi. And there's not enough action to create that situation for Kofi to get open. So they tend to, and then if they do get it in there, then they all stand and watch him and see what he does. It's not a very, when you get Bello in there, there's so much more movement. Just look at the first, you know, he doesn't play the first 4 minutes of the game and then he comes in. I mean, there's a reason he was plus 18 tonight, because the ball moves. The other guys have to be creative. They got to penetrate. They got to find guys. It's not like don't tell me Trent Frazier can't get through. Alfonso Plummer, I realize he got to the rim a couple times, and
yes,
he drew the foul at the end. He got a layup. The thing about him is when he gets the rim, it's usually to shoot, though. They don't have anybody but Bello who can go to the rim. And there were a couple times he made passes that were just kind of ridiculous finds and set up hockey assists and different things. And they're a much better team when that ball's zinging around the perimeter like that. And then they look maybe to get it into Kofi. Run high lows, actions like that. It's just when they're running those things, they're effective. When they're stagnant, they're just not. And there's too much of the game when they just kind of stand around, you know, dump it in. And I realize they have some guys out there, you know, who can't create. You know, DeMonte's not going to create. That's just reality. You know, Coleman tries to create sometimes. And, you know, Trent doesn't really create a lot. You know, a lot of his assists are, you know, whether in transition or secondary or things like that. It's not really a creation. You know, and Kofi's obviously not going to create. So you're very limited, you know, in which guys out there make other guys better. And so that's where they're going to have, if they want to be better offensively, they have to get more guys who can make the other guys better. And they got to get guys who can create their own shot. And they don't have them right now.
Yeah. And I do think that we even saw a little different side of Trent today, because he had that turnover where he drove down the left baseline, looked like he had a potential layup, and then ended up throwing the ball out of bounds, you know, across kind of in front of the Illinois bench. And to me, that's a shot he would have taken 6 weeks ago. And now it's an errant pass, you know, and no shot attempt. It was crazy there. We've also got Kedrick Prince, our director of recruiting, who's going to jump on board with us. And Kedrick, we were talking about some of the challenges that the Illini faced on the offensive end of the court. What were you seeing from your vantage point?
I think it's a combination, guys. This is just lingering. I don't think, to me, when you're playing offense, I mean, a lot of it's confidence. And right now, they don't have any. I don't think so. My opinion, they don't think the shots are going in. And I think when Plummer got one to go down, you can see how contagious he was. He didn't even look for shots. Then when he got one or two to go down, the game changed. I kind of wish Trent would have got his free throws early. Maybe it would have changed for him. But it's confidence. And this is no disrespect to Tennessee Chattanooga. I didn't think they were very good at all. I'm sorry. An average Illinois team that we've seen this year beats them by 20 points. They didn't do anything spectacular to me. They weren't physical. I don't think they shot it well. They didn't defend us well. Illinois just hurt themselves tonight. I don't think there was anything that they did that was a 13 seed. That was a gift for Illinois, I think. Moving forward, they just have to get some confidence. And you could see Coach Underwood trying to be positive, but I think he knows. I mean, we've all seen it before. We've all been to the games and heard him give coaches speak when it comes to kids knocking down shots. He knows it's an issue, but you can't harp on it, because if you harp on it, then it rubs off on the players.
So, Matt, you and Brad were close by there. Could you see, you know, how the Illini staff was reacting during the game? Anything jump out at you?
Brad, I mean, like when
Brad, you want to take this one?
Yeah, when Underwood destroyed his whiteboard.
I saw the tweet, Brad, so I think you need to describe it for our fans.
Yeah, it's one of those whiteboards, really nice one. It's probably one of the, it's got Illinois on it. It's got the handles on the sides, all that stuff.
Sweet.
It doesn't have handles on the side. It doesn't have the outside anymore. It attacked the court, the floor, at the under 12 timeout, I believe it was in the second half, and it was not, or maybe it was under 16. One of those two. It was not pretty. It was not a pretty sight. And there were, so he was using a different clipboard the rest of the night. It's good that he has a spare.
Well, Frank Martin was in the studio and he made a comment that I wanted to run past you guys, but he said, he goes, well, he goes, you realize I know Brad, and is paraphrasing him. He said something along the lines of, yeah, he must have saw the camera in there and he got all positive and stuff. He goes, but I can guarantee you one thing. As soon as the camera goes out of that locker room, it's going to get a lot more serious.
No doubt. There is no doubt.
So as we look, I want to take one pass around because I do need to ask you guys this, because a lot of the fans aren't going to pay attention to this. Malachi Smith went 4 for 20, had a horrible, when it takes 20 shots to get 12 points, that's just a disastrous game from a possession standpoint. And who was guarding him most of the time? And who do you think deserves a lot of the credit for making such a hard game for him?
I'll take this one, because it was shocking to me. They really ran a whole bunch of guys at him.
Okay.
You saw Trent on him late. You saw Demonte on him early. They even had lineups where, you know, maybe Trent's not out there or Bello's not out there, and they were running Plummer on him just to give him another look. I mean, they know that Plummer's got defensive issues, but they were just running – they were running multiple guys at him, and they were running multiple guys at Jean Baptiste. And I thought Illinois did a really, really good job defensively of just kind of running different dudes at their perimeter guys and – knowing, and I thought Kofi did a really, really good job when they threw the ball in the post at D'Souza, that just wasn't going to equal 2 points. And I think Chattanooga's been very, very good about, it's either going to get us 2 points, it's either going to get him to the line, or it's going to get us an open three. And Illinois didn't bite because they have a 7-foot, 290-pound dude in there. I guess I'll do it. Like, I feel like this is a positive win for the Illini because I've been wondering – you know, Ked and I sat next to each other at State Farm Center all year. And it's almost like we do, you know, the yin and the yang, because he's always talking about they got to make shots. And I look him straight in the eye and I go, well, getting a stop or two might help too. Like, that might be nice. I've wondered about this team where if shots aren't falling and offensive confidence isn't there, are they going to basically be tough enough to get a W? And I thought everything about this game was defense and toughness. And they proved that against a team that, in Chattanooga, that gets 16 offensive rebounds and proved that they were going to be as tough as Illinois, that Illinois can be 1 point better. And I thought that moving forward in a tournament, again, where all you got to do is be 1 point better than the team you're on the floor with each and every time, and you only got to do it 6 times to win a national championship. I thought Illinois had a good first step on those two instances of being tougher than Chattanooga and just being defensively at an elite level, because they needed to be, because offensively they just didn't have any confidence. But I wondered about this Illini team if that was going to be possible. And tonight it was, and it was possible more because of a guy named Coleman Hawkins, who I would have never said that about come Christmas time, like way back Christmas time. That kid gave them energy. He gave them toughness, and he gave them a key defensive play that helps them win the ball game tonight.
Yeah, there was at one point when the Coleman Hawkins bandwagon was just Ked. So
I would say the other thing I'd say, Mike, is that the help defense was from when you're able to switch. Coleman allows you to switch defensively 1 through 4, and it really creates some mismatch defensively. And his length, really, Malachi Smith talked in the post game about how much the length of a guy like Hawkins bothered him on some of those things. Physicality of the guards, the length of Hawkins. And then the other thing, Kofi had 3 blocked shots, I think, on help situations. One of them was a goaltend, but they also called one goaltend that wasn't a goaltend. So
right.
I guess it all depends out. But at the end of the day, I thought his help defense was – his timing on those blocks was much better than we've seen it earlier in his career. And so I thought that was big. You know, he knew when to help, and that you could tell they weren't used to a guy like that coming from the help side.
No, you're not used to the Incredible Hulk come flying over and hitting your ball like a volleyball. I do think the thing that both Coleman Hawkins and Andre Curbelo have is, if you watch them, they are wonderful at weak side help. Now, they sometimes will occasionally lose their man a little bit, but I mean, on weak side help, there was about two times that Coleman Hawkins took a couple steps, prevented the drive from coming in, allowing, you know, a person's defender to catch up, and then Coleman could slide back to his guy. You don't see that anywhere in a box score. And Curbelo, to his fairness, he does that quite often as well. But I'm going to have Kedrick. Kedrick, what did you think of Coleman's performance tonight? Because we were all gaga with, you know, his rebounds and his timeliness. He took over DeMonte's role of Mr. Key Rebound and Mr. Big Play tonight.
I want to say, for every good and bad, I know, yes, about Coleman with Curbelo, you know, and Coleman right now, they're the X factors. Let's just call it. It is what it is. There's things now that I've seen, and we've talked about this the last game, the last podcast, or prior to it, where a guard will get beat off the dribble. Kofi's natural reaction is to help out, which is smart. What Coleman does is exactly what Brad Sturdy just said. He can rotate and he gives you a different look, because there was a play tonight where if he doesn't do that late in the second half, he got a deflection. It's a dunk for Tennessee Chattanooga, without a doubt. He is developing right before our eyes. I mean, he really and truly is. And think about it. He is so long. And when he go get a rebound, watch it. I've said this forever, and this is the coach in me. He doesn't grab it with one hand. He gets it with two. The last rebound he got tonight, he got it with two hands. Because if you get it with one, the defender could knock it away. You could lose it out of bounds. He's just growing up between our eyes. If it was me and that was my son, he would shoot 80,000 jump shots in the offseason and 75,000 free throws, because the sky's the limit for him. I mean, he is really – I mean, the way he runs the floor and catch lob dunks and he can block shots, I just think he adds another dimension. And I've been a fan of this, not because I'm friends with the family. Well, I'm lying. That is part of it, okay? But I really want to see him succeed, and I just think he adds a different dimension. When they play Houston, which is what it's going to look like Sunday, he's going to be – he will give Illinois a look where a lot of teams can't do that. A lot of teams can't go with a 7-foot Hulk in the middle and then a mobile 6'10 guy like Coleman.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, I would tell Kofi the same thing in terms of what to practice this summer. You know, Doug Altenberger talked about shooting 500 shots before practice in the morning and after practice in the evening. You know, he got an extra 1,000 shots beyond whatever the team was doing. And I think Kofi shows a nice touch. You know, he just needs the reps. Brad, any thoughts here to close as we as we talk about, you know, either this game or looking forward? Although, folks, we're going to be honest with you, we're recording this at halftime of the Houston game, so they're up by 9, but we don't know what's going to happen. So, anything, Brad, either wrapping up this game or looking forward to Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, I just think Illinois, you got the win. And it's just like, I think that Illinois may have a big, taking a monkey off their back with this win. I think there was a lot of pressure on them to get this win after losing to Loyola last year. Now you're in a 4-5 game that probably they're not going to be favored, I don't think. I think Houston will be favored if they're playing Houston. They'd probably be favored if it's UAB, but I don't think they'll be favored against Houston, and Houston does have the lead. So, I think it's a tough matchup, and I think they can come out and play a lot looser and a lot freer. At the end of the day, they got to get more from their guards. They got to get guys making shots. They got to finish shots around the rim. They got to finish the wide open jump shots that they're getting. And if they can do that, they can grind this out and they can beat a team like Houston, because Houston also has days, although they're scoring at will against UAB, they also have days when they are offensively challenged. And so this could be another rock fight, and Illinois knows how to play in rock fights, and they've been doing it for, you know, at times in the Big Ten, whether it's Michigan State or whoever, they have those games where it's just kind of like that. And, you know, if you can win like that, then you have a game, maybe you're clicking on all cylinders like they were at Michigan offensively, and you do that and maybe win a game like that. Next thing you know, you're moving along in the bracket and you're where you want to be.
Perfect. Matt, from your standpoint, we'll let you kind of do your little wrap here.
Yeah, I feel like Illinois, I do. I agree with Sturdy. I think if it's Houston, I do think it's going to be a rock fight. I do think it's going to be a game of which team is tougher and which team, you know, because both of these guys, Calvin Sampson and Brad Underwood, have sold their programs on, I'm just going to be tougher than you in 40 minutes, and that's how we're going to win. It's not going to be about being beautiful offensively. It's not going to be about, you know, shooting God knows how many percent from three. It's going to be about, we are tougher than you. We punched you in the mouth more, and that's how we won. And I think that that's how Houston got to a Final Four last year, and it's how they're winning a whole bunch of games with Calvin Sampson, and it's how Illinois wins a whole bunch of games with Brad Underwood. So if that game happens, I do think it'll be a game in the 50s and 60s, and it'll be a rock fight and, you know, strength on strength. But I think this game represents so much for Illinois because they easily could have lost this game, and I do feel like there's a mentality of, you know, when Carbella was gone with that concussion problem where this team was struggling, you know, they would have lost this game. They would have found the easy things to do and they would have lost this game. But Chattanooga's really, really good. And I agree with their head coach, Lamont Paris. They're not really, really good, mid-major good or Southern Conference good. They're good. And I thought Illinois did enough to win by a point. And in this tournament, that's all you got to do. And we'll see going forward, because I want to explain again, the Sunday game has nothing to do with what you just saw Illinois do for 40 minutes tonight. And so they could come out completely different on Sunday just because they got through this one. And it's happened so many other times for teams, and it may happen for Illinois on Sunday.
Well, and if the game's not going to be a beautifully played game, folks, you're just going to have to look for the Illini guys, reporters on the sidelines. That's going to be the only beauty you'll see. Kedrick.
False. Inaccurate.
Kedrick. I know. Well, let you put together a final wrap, and then I'll kind of take things out of here for our fans.
Okay. I hope they come out with a little bit more sense of urgency Sunday. Not to just keep saying, you know, what Brad said is right, but Brad is right. You know, they got the monkey off the back. You know, there was a lot of pressure on this team to win going back to last year. I think that's why you heard Coach Underwood talk about fun, and smile and have a good time. I think that's why. I think he knew it. He could sense it. I was really, really impressed with the fight to come back. Matt, sorry to exclude you with this one, but Mike and Brad, we're old enough to remember when we were younger, these were losses. These were games where you just knew Illinois was going to find a way to lose. And today was different. Today was a little bit different. You know, it's a different feel. Maybe it's a different era. And you only, you know, Matt mentioned, you only need 1 point to win. This 1 point win could send them to the Sweet 16, find a way to Final Four. Anything's possible. So you never apologize for winning, especially right now, because you could imagine what Kentucky and UConn and all those other teams are feeling right now. I would much rather be in a situation Illinois is in right now than a team like Kentucky, you know, who was a 2 seed and got outplayed last night, and, you know, Illinois still playing. So don't feel bad about it. It was ugly, and hopefully Sunday will be different.
Yep. It was a win, and I keep telling people it doesn't matter. People don't remember 20 years from now, you know, 30 years from now. You know, you go back to 1983 when I was a junior in high school and Pace Mannion in Utah beat Illinois. You know, I still remember that, but beyond that, that's it. And this may go down as the Plummer second half explosion. It may go down as Coleman Hawkins saving the day. Whatever that narrative is, that's how this thing's going to be remembered. The 1 point and the rest of it will kind of fade away into the sunset. It's just a victory. And they're set up for a very, very challenging game on Sunday. But a Sweet 16 is the ultimate goal. If the Illini could win a Big Ten title and make sure they at least get to the Sweet 16, 7 years out of 10, that would put them in the place where they're making runs at the national title on a regular basis as well. Before I close it out, I would like to say one thing. And one of my favorite reporters who covers the NFL, John Clayton, just passed away. And we want to give our best wishes and sympathies out to his family. A lot of us spent a lot of years preparing for NFL games, watching John, and really appreciate everything that he does. And as for that, folks, we will have a podcast right after the game on Sunday. We're hoping for a win, but even if things don't turn out the Illini way, we will be here and giving you all the coverage with this same group of gentlemen. Thank you so much for tuning in, and go Illini. If you have liked this podcast, please go give it a 5-star rating on Apple or Google, wherever you get your podcast from. It would help us out greatly. Additionally, you can find our other podcast, Sturdy for 30, or Ked's Recruiting Roundup. Those are available as well. You want to make sure you get those so you get all the latest Illini information and recruiting information. We also are powered by IlliniGuys.com. That's the number one source for inside Illini information. It comes here out of here first. If you join, it's $99 a year. You get all the news, et cetera, and you also have message boards where you get access to how the sausage is made, all the rumors that are out there, all the recruiting tidbits. You get that a lot earlier than anywhere else. Go to IlliniGuys.com for that and join up. You will love it. It's a free 7-day trial. It's a perfect time to give us a whirl, and you will find, especially in the summertime, when you have Ked and Brad in the upper Midwest, you have Larry covering things in Atlanta, you have myself covering things in Dallas. We are at AAU tournaments across the country, and we can cover Illini recruits and Illini, or people who are interested in the Illini, and give you all the latest news there, and that's going to be heating up. And of course, we also have the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. That's our 2-hour radio show that comes out on either Friday or Saturdays. It's on the Illini Guys Radio Network. There are 25 stations in the state of Illinois that broadcast our show. You can go to IlliniGuys.com, click the radio button, and you can see every station, what day they broadcast it, and what time. Please take a listen. If you enjoy it, call up that station and thank them for putting us on the air. With that, we will see everybody on, we will talk to everybody on Sunday. Go Illini. She said, get out the chat room and clean my Glad Stretch. Feeling fine, so fresh. The Glad Girl Group coming at you with a throwback jam. That was Glad Force Flex Drawstring Trash Bags featuring Pine Sol Original Scent. And that's better than all good. It's all Glad.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.